talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Save his life, call his wife, and hey!
404! I'm getting silly at this point. Let's go. Another hour of our 5-hour midnight ride, taking it till 5 o'clock. Mick Monagle here with you till then. 888-808-1019. We opened up with the Mets. I was following the game. Very rare do I get to do that. It's always nice when the Mets are on the West Coast. The Yankees, I still get the post game. Blah, blah, blah. The Mets, boom, it was like almost... Keith had like 20 minutes of the post game, and I was right into following the Mets as they lost 6-3 to the lousy Rockies. A disappointing bounce back after, disappointing follow up after the bounce back in St. Louis. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Los Angeles Angels. They come back, they win a game against St. Louis, and then they follow it up with another performance where two narratives that have followed this team a little bit now have jumped up again. And one, it's the offense, right? The offense has been a feast or famine type offense since the All-Star break. You take away the big run scoring against the Yankees in the second game of the Subway Series, and you take away that first game against Minnesota where they put up, 15 runs or so. Besides that, not a lot of runs scored and terrible with runners in scoring position. And again, last night, same thing. Winker in the sixth, first and third, one out, pinched hit for Torrens, immediately hits into a double play. The next inning in the seventh, two on, second and third, two outs after a double by Nimmo, and J.D. Martinez grounds out the second base, and that was really the game. And the other narrative is Severino. Sevy was not as bad as he was in his previous start. The velocity was back up a little bit, but you are reaching innings limits that he hasn't come close to since 2018. I mean, he's up right around 130 innings pitched this year, and he hasn't sniffed that since 2018. And now it's back-to-back poor performances. Back-to-back performances. Last night he admits he didn't have his breaking ball, really. He couldn't find his stuff. Yes, the velocity's up, but you know sometimes it's not velocity that goes, but it's location, inability to throw your breaking stuff. It's not just velocity. And right now there are some real question marks around him who's so important to this rotation, so key to this team. And to now be in a place where you feel he's in doubt, the offense that literally dragged this group back into playoff contention, where they are now a game and a half behind the third wild card, the Atlanta Braves, as both the Padres and the Diamondbacks have surged and stormed right past Atlanta. And the Mets are now a game and a half back, where their offense that dragged them to this point, who is killing it top to bottom, a bunch of guys have cooled off. We're still waiting for Pete Alonso to heat up. We talked about Pete a lot yesterday. We don't have to get back into his comments and his season, but it's time for Pete to turn it on. But a lot of guys have cooled off. Lindor struck out 3 times in this game. Nimmo with a couple of hits, but he's cooled off. J.D. Martinez has cooled off. Vientos has cooled off. So a lot of these guys are cooling off. They had a real problem with runners in scoring position. You go along with that and Severino and his inning scare, and suddenly, you know, right now you're feeling like this Met team could be fading, and they have started off this important 10-game road trip losing three of the first five against lousy teams. And these next two games with Blackburn on the mound, followed by Peterson on the mound, tonight and tomorrow are must-win games. As the Diamondbacks never lose, as the we all know what the Padres did at the trade deadline, bolstering their bullpen, and how good they've been over the last month or so. I mean, this is... They did not provide themselves enough cushion with the way they played to start the year. Yeah, the offense has been great. The team's been surging. Done a really nice job since June. They do not have the cushion to lose series to lousy teams. So last night, a lot happened. Some great defense by Colorado. Some poor defense by the Mets. Inability to come through with big hits against one of the worst bullpens in baseball. I mean, they're doing, you know, they brought in 3 relievers. Justin Lawrence, 5.82 ERA. Chavile, 5.4 ERA. Kinley, 6.61 ERA. Before going to the closer, Vodnik. Like, And that's where the game was lost. Those two spots against this lousy bullpen, unable to come through. And now big-time wins needed for the Mets. Yankees were rained out last night. Doubleheader later today as they take on the Angels. Same thing for them. They don't have a cushion. They are now a half a game in front. They are in first place all by them lonesome as the Orioles lost to the Blue Jays yesterday. The Yankees were obviously idle. But they are not in a position where they can lose home games to the Angels. So I know splitting doubleheaders are kind of expected. Not today. Go out there and get a couple wins. So we opened up with the baseball. We got to Malik Nabers and the Giants as well. Jalen Brunson, the captain of the Knicks. We've talked about it all over the course of these first 4 hours. And it's all still up for debate right now. Over the last hour. I got you for one more until 5 o'clock. But let's get to the phone calls here at 409-888-808-1019. Let's get to Eric and Ron Conklin. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mayor. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you, sir. What's going on?
You know, there's one thing I don't understand about this whole, I won't say controversy, but question about what Soto's going to get with his contract.
Yeah.
Because here's the way I see it, right? If he were to go anywhere else, you know, someone's going to offer him a ton of money. We know this. Someone will.
Yes.
Okay? And he goes there, and it's not the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Whether it's nationally or American League.
Right.
It's not then going to be said, oh, my God, I can't believe he got more money than Judge. Okay?
Correct.
No one's going to question that. Now, if he ends up going, let's say, to Baltimore, because they got new ownership and, you know, they are fading, and let's say they get knocked out early or whatever, you know, and they're saying, you know, they want to get back to on the right path, and they dump a truckload of money in front of Soto, and let's say he goes there.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be said? They're not going to say, I can't believe you got more money than Judge. They're going to say, why didn't you, Cashman, why didn't you give him what he wanted to get him here?
Yeah. No, 100%. So no, you're right. Yeah. It's the difference is he's the captain. He's on the Yankees, and you got to.
I think with some of these, you know, I can't even say it's Yankee fans because I think it seems to be like a general thought. It's like, oh well, because it's the same team. How can we pay him more than Judge? I mean, it's already been two. You know, it'll be two full years.
Yeah.
Since he got that contract, you know, when Soto becomes free agent. And like you said, you know, he is 4 or 5 years younger than him. You know, he's going to get, you know, whether it's, you know, the length of the contract or the amount of money per year, it is going to be bigger. It's just, you know, that's just what happens in sports. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, it's why I can't go to games that much anymore because I can't afford it because of, you know, some of the stuff. I mean, but.
Right. No, but I'm with you. Like, if you look at the contract, right? Say he's more like you could arguably give him a 13-year contract, right? Judge was 30, 9-year deal. He's still 39. Soto is going to be 26 next year. You can give him a 13-year contract, right? So if you pay him the same money Judge is making at $40 million, and you give it to him for 30 years, that's $520 million. That's the contract right there. And say you got to give him a little bit more than that, or it's only a 12-year contract, and you want to pay him $500 million for 12 years. Then you're talking about 41 and a half or something per year, and he's making $1 million more dollars than Judge. Do you think Judge would care if Juan Soto makes $1 million more? Do you think he would take that as some sort of slap in the face? It doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, of course he wouldn't. I mean, because then you got to because here's the other thing too. Let's say he does get more money, and they get to the World Series, even if they don't win it, they're getting extra money for getting there too. So you think he's going to be annoyed that he got more money for getting to the World Series?
I think and thank you for the call, Eric. I think the money goes out the window. I think Judge was focused on money for 1 year. Judge was focused on money for really when on opening day of 2022. Then he played the season. Then he was focused on money for one off season. That's it. He got the money. Now the money's out the window. I don't think he cares about the World Series money. I don't think he cares about his money, your money, my money, anybody else's money, Soto's money, Hal Steinbrenner's money, none of it. He cares about players. He cares about winning. He cares about the Yankees winning a World Series. That's what he cares about. He cares about performing. He cares about giving the Yankees his best. He cares about playing for himself and his family and his teammates. That's what he cares about. He doesn't care about Juan Soto making more money than him or anybody else making. He wants to win. You think he'd rather have a lesser team? You think he wants to be this big fish in a small pond? Like, who cares? That's what's, you want to, like, you think it's more disrespectful to judge to pay someone more to give him a lousy team that he can't win a championship with. And he becomes Dan Marino. Not that it's the worst thing in the world to be Dan Marino, but, you know, you don't want to be Dan Marino. You don't want to be Patrick Ewing. You don't want to be Don Mattingly. But I'm just thinking of the greats. Like, you don't want to be those guys. You don't want to be Charles Barkley. You don't want to, like, you know, you want to win. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, bud?
Very good. Pretty good. Just, you know, driving to work like usual.
Yeah. So, you know, sitting here talking to you, driving to work.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
What? Again, I couldn't hear you.
No, I said, go ahead. I was just saying, yeah, but I'm just sitting here talking to you while you drive to work as usual.
Yeah, usually, yeah, true. And while you're working on the radio, it was wonderful. So, the Yankees got rained out. Yeah, it is what it is, but can't talk about all the weather. But, yeah, I find it interesting that they're using Gill the pitch when it's here, like 670. I'm not Gill, I mean Warren. It's 675. I was looking at that. I mean, that's a little high. I don't know how many starts he
one.
I mean, only one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sorry, your line's kind of sounding terrible tonight, Danny. Yeah, I wouldn't look at Will Warren's ERA. He's had one start. They got into a doubleheader. He's the extra guy of the doubleheader. They're going to start him. I expected kind of this thing. You know, they got rained out. This is what's going to happen. I'm not really worried about it. What are they supposed to do? I mean, you can't look at his ERA. Don't worry about it. Will Warren's one. They're going to give him some runs, see what happens. Maybe you get lucky. He's one of their prospects. You got to pitch somebody in the doubleheader. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
Good morning, Captain Mac.
Yes, that's right. Captain Mac. Captain Mac. That sounds like a kiddie show or something.
Captain Mac.
Yes, sir.
My favorite captain, Captain Jack. Captain Jack is Billy Joe. We'll take you high tonight. Captain Jack. Yeah.
You're really having a good time out in the toga, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, Marvel had a couple of good captains. Captain America and Captain Marvel. How about those captains from Marvel?
I mean, yeah, sure. You have any other captains you got for me?
Oh, we could go through Captain...
We could be through Captain Crunch, Captain Obvious... There's a whole bunch. There's a ton of captains.
Yeah, I love the Crunch.
Captain Chair.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight.
Captain Midnight. Yes, that's true.
There you go. All right, D-Mac. Enough captaining.
Oh, you sure? We were having such fun.
I know. Hey, we could do more captain.
No,
captain,
that's okay. What do you got, Rocco?
Yeah, okay. Enough on the captains already. Hey, Pete Rose. Yeah, the guy is 83 years old. He paid his dues. He paid the price. Yeah, he was deceptive. He tried to cover it up. Nah, I didn't bet on baseball. I didn't do this and that. He's his own worst enemy, okay? He was his own worst enemy. He should have fessed up and said, yeah, I made a mistake. I apologize. I should have never done it. I don't know. I'm going in for therapy. You know, these people, yeah, I'm going to fix myself. And then it would have been okay. They probably, after a while, slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
But no, Pete just didn't want to give in, you know? Yeah. And that caused a big problem for him. And still to this day, he's a little like, well, I'm not an axe murderer. I'm not, you know.
No, he doesn't understand. Now, look, he's not. And someone actually, and thank you for the call, Rocco. I appreciate it. Someone tweeted at me because I mentioned that, you know, it is a lifetime ban. And I don't know if, like, in my mind, I just feel, because he said it and it dawned on me, and I just agree, like I feel like when he passes, they'll end up putting him in the Hall of Fame, and if you're going to do that, then why not just do it now? Like, you're going to begrudge you know, him that moment when you know you're going to do it when he passed away. But maybe they wouldn't. Someone reminds me on Twitter that they did not for Shoeless Joe Jackson or I guess any of the other eight men out. I don't think what Pete did is in the same realm of what they, I mean, they purposely lost the World Series and took money to do so. That is not the same as gambling on your team, always to win. Now, look, there are elements to it. There are people who think Pete Rose did nothing wrong. Oh, he bet his team to win. Clearly, it influences your decision-making for what's best for the team, and you'll throw your best reliever on his fifth day in a row if you have to, if you're chasing victories, things like that. But ultimately, you just can't bet on the game. But it's not the same as Shoeless Joe. But there are instances of people being banned for life and not getting back in, no matter how much time has passed. But in my mind, I just think they would. In my mind, I just think there would be such a clamoring for it that they would do it. And if you're going to do it then, do it now. But honestly, he put himself in his own position. So I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it or thinking about it, to be totally honest with you. Unfortunately, I never got to see Pete Rose play. I didn't get to see Charlie Hustle play, which was funny to learn that it was a joke. I mean, I guess I always figured Charlie Hustle was a little bit of a, like, it just, especially because his name isn't Charlie. So I assumed it was, but I guess it was the Yankees. I think they said it was it Whitey Ford? It was somebody. I thought it was a Yankee. I saw the documentary as I was, you know, in and out of sleep one night, the first episode. But yeah, you know, he showed up to some spring training thing or whatever, and he was just running all over the place, and they said, oh, look at Charlie Hustle, kind of mocking his fake hustle. And he ran with it. But I've never seen him play. I have no real, you know, desire to, you know, get Pete Rolls in the Hall of Fame. I really don't. I'm certainly not going to, rally for it or you know, start a petition or anything. But if you're asking me, yeah, why not? He's the all-time hit leader. Put him in there. He's paid his dues. And especially now at the game, like, he can't embarrass you any further. Do it. And especially if he would do it after he passes, which I feel like they would.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Anybody else with any cooler talk? I'm still looking for a cooler. Cooler backpack, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN. That's what I'm in the market for right now, cooler, a backpack cooler. Because there is really, I do love coolers. There's something about a really nice cooler. There's something about like a summer day, you open up a cooler, it's full of ice. Little long neck bottles of those beers sticking out just over the ice, full to the bottom. Nothing like packing a cooler. All the alcohol to the left, you fill up all the beer, and then it gets to the soda and the juices and for the waters, and all the other people can have their drinks too. Nothing better than sticking your hand in an ice cold thing, pulling out a nice icy cold beverage. The best. Nothing sexier than a freshly packed cooler. The best thing ever. But I'm looking for a cooler backpack to take with me in Disney in August in Orlando, like a fool. All right, let's get back to the phone calls. Phil in Manhattan, what's up, Phil?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm old enough to have seen Pete Rose play several times, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Pete Rose, he was excellent in all facets of the game. He could do it all, literally. When they call him Charlie Hustle, he was called Charlie Hustle because that's exactly the way he played. He hustled all the time. He could hit singles, doubles, triples, home runs. He was a tremendous third baseman. He was also a manager. He was so excellent in every facet of the game. He was a superstar. He was one of the first players that got one of the mega year contracts. Mm-hmm. He was just a tremendous all-around athlete, and people loved him. He was loved and respected by everybody in baseball, and the fans loved him. He was tremendous, and I'm glad I was old enough to see him play. I'm glad I'm still able to remember this.
Yeah. No, I agree with almost, you know, pretty much everything you said, except the Charlie Hustle thing. It was watching the documentary. I mean, it was to mock him a little bit for perceived fake hustle, but that is exactly how he played. There's no doubt he hustled. There's no doubt.
He didn't fake it. No way.
Yeah.
Well, he was literally hustling.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
He hustled.
I'm not saying he didn't. What I'm saying is the beginning, the genesis of the name is because of other players' perceived, you know, kind of fake hustle from, or not fake, like he hustled in spring training or something, and they called him Charlie Hustle. It's like, look at this kid trying to make a name for himself by hustling, you know? So it was a slight that he ran with and lived up to,
exactly.
Don't get me wrong.
It gained traction in a positive way. And I'm glad I was able to see him play. Sure. And
I'll take it you want him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of course I want him in the Hall of Fame. I'm not even sure what he did wrong, to tell you the truth.
Well, he gambled on games he was managing.
Oh, so what? I mean, he was a great player. I couldn't care less about that. You know? And he was a great player. Come on.
I hear you, Phil. I hear you. Ah, so what? I mean, it's only it's only the definitive thing of the game that it's on the level. I mean, that's all. I mean, it's only the most important thing about sports in general is that we know it's being fair. It's not professional wrestling, and it's on the level. I mean, that's all he did. All he did was make us funny. I get it, though. I'm sure. I agree. I understand that. Like, I feel that way about steroids. Not to bring up another. Let's do it real quick. Ready? Pete Rose, steroids, and Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. Let's get it all out of our system right now. You want to call me up right now? You got 30 minutes. We're taking all our favorite topics. All the cliched, boom, sports radio. And the Eli Manning one is kind of in the news now, as he's going to be up for the vote this year. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. And steroids don't matter. That's my opinion. What you got? 888-808-1019. But I understand that point, that opinion that you don't care. I honestly don't care about steroids. I don't. It doesn't. They should all absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. There should be a separate wing. Actually, no, I take that back. There should not be a separate wing. Everyone who played, they should designate the years where they believe the rampant steroid use began. And anybody who makes the Hall of Fame, including guys that I feel very confident in saying had nothing to do with it, but they were part of a union that dismissed it, like Derek Jeter and Ken Griffey Jr., and they should absolutely, it should just say, played under the suspicion of the steroid era on their plaque. That's it. All of them. How is Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not in the Hall of Fame? They belong in the Hall of Fame. I could understand Sammy Sosa because, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame strictly for hitting home runs, and he hit home runs, you know. The cork bat, clearly. But, I mean, you know, certain guys belong, and I really don't, it doesn't bother me that much. It wasn't illegal. They weren't testing for it. Oh, look at that. They're all calling me. You see, that's it. Let's take the cooler call first. I'm more interested. Andrew in Manhattan. What's up, Andrew?
What's up? First time caller here. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you? I ensnared you with my cooler talk. I love it. All these years listening to the fan, never had a desire to call. I mentioned a cooler, and here he is. Andrew from Manhattan making his WFAN debut. I love it. What's up?
Listen, it comes to beers and ice cold drinks.
That's
it. You know, you got me number one radar right there. we had an old cooler, and it was terrible. It broke, finally. And there's a million of them. You get the Yetis, you can spend $150, $200, whatever it is.
Yeah, easy.
$50 for the cooler. Tournit. We had it for about a year and a half. It fits about 30 beers, but you get outside pockets, inside pockets, and really, I don't know if there's a.
It was a
text messenger.
It was a backpack.
It's a backpack.
What was the name? Torrent?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm aware of the Torrents. I've looked them up. They do get good ratings, and they're relatively.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it. He slipped there. It was an accident. But thank you very much, Andrew. I think that's where I'm going to go. And if I don't like it, it doesn't do a good job, then maybe next year I'll splurge. I don't know. But it just seems like spending a lot of money on a cooler I'm only going to bring, you know, use once or twice a year seems like a lot. Gerard Knollbridge. What's up, Gerard?
Baseball could have no idea that all that was going on.
I'm sorry, one more and time. Gerard, I'm sorry, buddy. We missed the beginning of your phone call. Start over.
So I'm saying with the steroids,
yeah.
There's no way Major League Baseball couldn't have an idea of what was going on.
Right.
And all these guys became the scapegoat for them, you know, putting their hands up and saying, well, we didn't test, we didn't know. I agree. You know, look, we don't know what people were taking 60 years ago, you know, not that they were, but I just think it's all right. These guys, even with steroids,
yeah.
You still got to swing your bat.
Of course.
Or Barry Bonds' case, you know, I don't know.
There's no doubt your line was a little messed up. I'm going to let you go, Gerard. Thank you for calling. There's no doubt Major League Baseball turned its blind eye to what was going on. They were all aware of it. So was the union. The union head Donald Fear and those guys were saying it's no worse than smoking cigarettes, and you know everybody was aware of what was going on, but they were hitting home runs. It was after the strike, and we all know what happened. And then Congress embarrassed Bud Selig, and suddenly it became an issue. And I get it. And then that's a different subject. The stuff about like. Because I agree. Like, let's be totally honest. I don't know Mickey Mantle at all. All right, but you're telling there's no chance that some of these guys are heroes that were clean and we're all mad. Like, if it was available to them, they wouldn't have taken it. I don't know. Like, we know this for sure. Like, come on. We don't know. And again, I'm not trying to dismiss what they did. They cheated the game. They knew they were cheating, and they didn't care. And cost how many people? And how many different guys who would have been in the show for a time wouldn't have been and would have been playing Major League Baseball for a time and would have had careers but were beat out by guys cheating and fighting. You know, I get it. It's unfortunate. But I still think you have to put the greatest of their era. If you became a Hall of Fame caliber player, if you were one of the best of your peers, if you want to judge numbers differently and not automatically grant steroid era guys 500 home runs put you in, fine, whatever. I don't care. But if you were the best of the best of your time period, you belong in the Hall of Fame. And then just make a note of it. Play it under the suspicion of the steroid era. Anyone who played from 90 to 2005, or whenever they decided to start the testing. 90 to 2005. If you're the bulk of your career was in those years and you make the Hall of Fame, play it under the suspicion of the steroid era, right on your plaque. Deal with it. You were part of a union and to let it happen too. Pat in Bayside. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. Manning in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Absolutely. A no-brainer.
No-brainer.
He's got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My reasons, he played every game. He was available for them all. Mm-hmm. He was on the field all the time. You know, like Benenko says, the best thing about a quarterback is playing every game, and he does.
No doubt about it.
You put the two rings on him.
He's one of like four guys. And thank you for the call. He's like one of four guys to have two Super Bowl MVPs. They're all in the Hall of Fame. Brady will be. Everyone talks about how those playoff runs were dominated by the defense. And yes, of course, the defense and the pressure they got on Brady in the Super Bowl and everything was paramount in winning that game. In his playoff runs that went to the Super Bowl, he threw 15 touchdown passes and threw two interceptions, and he made every big play. The idea that he was, you know, carried to two Super Bowl championships is just BS. He beat Tom Brady twice. He beat Aaron Rodgers. He beat Brett Favre. He went into San Francisco and got his ass kicked and won that game. He's thrown how many touchdown passes and how many yards? He's like sixth on the all-time passing touchdown list and yard lists. Like, there is no doubt. Was he? This is the argument against Eli Manning, and I get it. Was he ever one of the best players in the league? Was he ever even considered? Did you even consider him to be an MVP of the league? No. It never even crossed my mind. All the years I loved him, watching him as a Giant fan, it never crossed my mind that he would win the MVP. He was never one of the great players, and he played long enough where now his career record is 500, which is unfortunate. Not a winning record in the NFL, but there is no doubt when you accomplish what he's accomplished, and no other position is graded on what you accomplish more than the quarterback position and what your team accomplishes. And he won two Super Bowls. He won two Super Bowl MVPs. He was utterly brilliant for all of those games. I mean, you know, how many, you know, to win playoff games at Lambeau, losing my mind. That's the 439 talking. To go in there and beat, you know, Green Bay and Lambeau twice on runs to the Super Bowl, to beat the number one seed Dallas, to go on the road and win as many road playoff games as he has. I mean, you know, I know he didn't play road playoff games, but he's won more road playoff games than Tom Brady. Like, it's just, he's absolutely 100% a Hall of Famer. Now, when you look at it and his draft class, could you make the case that Ben Roethlisberger was the better player? Yes, you could. People make the case that Phillip Rivers is the better quarterback. I don't know if I would say that, but I guess a case could be made. He never won a championship, but, I mean, most people talk about him like he's a lock Hall of Famer because of the amount of games he's won, touchdowns he's won, yards he's thrown for. Eli Manning, without question, is a Hall of Fame quarterback. There's no doubt, he absolutely is. David and Clifton, what's up, Dave?
What's going on, Big Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, I love your show.
Thank you.
I love everything you do. I really think, this is much just my opinion, the Yankees should sit Gleyber Torres down and watch and let him watch Charlie Hustle's accolades through his life. And the talent that Gleyber has, we all know he has it. But he lacks one thing, what Pete Rose has.
Mm-hmm.
If we could somehow put Pete Rose's body
right,
into him.
Yeah, I understand.
I think he'd be a great player.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I understand that. You wish he had more of, you know, simply put, you wish he had more of Pete Rose in him. I get it. There are guys like that. I mean, now he takes it to extreme with lack of hustle or, you know, I get it. But we've seen it with Robinson Cano. We've even seen it with Beltran, who played a very smooth, now he didn't, you know, not run stuff out necessarily, but he played a smooth kind of game where he glided a little bit. Nothing looked like he was overextending. Pete Rose, you could tell, like, again, never saw him play live, but seen highlights. Pete Rose put everything into every, you know, I related to, like, when I watch, you know, what reminds me of Pete Rose, the way I'm just talking about it now, Pete Rose put every ounce of strength into everything he did. There was like, if he was running to first base, every vein was popping in his neck. The hair was all over the place. Like, he put every single thing into his effort and into the body to do things. That doesn't, you know, but that doesn't always mean when guys don't do that, that it's different. Like, for example, I think with quarterbacks, like when I watch Baker Mayfield throw the football, it looks like he puts every ounce of himself into the throw. Like, he has to go, he cocks back, it's his legs, it's his arm, it's his body, it looks like he's just, it's like max effort to throw. And then you watch Patrick Mahomes throw, and it's like the arm bail, you know, or you watch Vinny Testaverde throw, and it's just, and it's easy, and it's effortless, and it looks like he doesn't have to look. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is another perfect example. Aaron Rodgers flicks the wrist, and the ball goes 60, 70 yards in the air, and it looks like, you know, and when Baker Mayfield throws it, it looks like my son in gym class throwing the kickoff of the little, you know, gym football game he's playing where everything goes into it. Like, it's just different. Doesn't mean, you know, one player's trying any harder than the other. It's just what needs to be done. Some guys are very smooth with their stuff. Some guys can accomplish it without max effort or without the appearance of max effort. Now, Gleyber Torres is a little bit like that, but then he takes it too far, and he won't run out ground balls, and he won't run out balls off the wall. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not excusing the lapses of judgment that he has far too often, but it's also combined with just a little bit of a smooth kind of nature to his game. The difference is the two players I mentioned, you know, in Carlos Beltran and Robinson Cano, and I know minus the steroids of Cano, is they're Hall of Fame talented players. And Gleyber Torres is hitting, you know, 240 right now with an under 700 OPS. And Robinson Cano is hitting 30 home runs for the Yankees with 900 OPS and killing it. And on his way, before the steroids and everything, to being one of the great offensive second basemen in history. And Gleyber Torres is floundering around, you know, doing nothing since 2019. That's the difference. Let's go to Kevin in Neptune. What's up, Kev?
Yo, Big Mac, what's going on?
Yo, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man, for fun, go online and look up a product called The Coolist. What it is, it's a Kickstarter program.
The Coolist.
It's a cooler, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, back in like 2013, this dude made this cooler with like USB plugs and fans and stuff.
Right.
Sold like 2 million units, and the guy never produced it.
Okay.
Right? So check it out, because that's what laid the foundation for the new Yetis and everything, like the concept of having all these cool features.
Uh-huh.
So if you're looking for like a high-tech cooler, look at the story, The Coolist, and then go from there. That's my advice.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm actually I'm looking for like a backpack cooler to take on me on a trip. Not necessarily just, but I like old coolers. I find I'm interested in coolers in general. I saw an infomercial for a cooler that has like a dry, you put the, I forget the company, but it's designed for tailgating and bringing food with you. So you don't have to put, you know, wrap up your food in certain things and put it in the ice and risk, you know, water getting to it or whatever. Like there's a compartment underneath the ice that stays cool because the ice sits. So there's the main compartment. You put your drinks and everything in there with the ice. And then there's like a slide out thing underneath that where you put your steaks and your sausage and whatever else, you know, vegetables, whatever you're bringing that you don't want to just throw in the ice that gets wet and watery and whatever. And it's like a cool compartment underneath that acts like a refrigerator with the ice box on top. I thought that was cool. Now, The Coolist, I know it comes with like a radio built into it. And the one of the top, like there's a blend, a mix, a blender mix on top and all that stuff. I've actually seen, I just Googled it and looked at it. I've seen that before. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a backpack cooler that's not going to leak, that is good, that'll keep in the 90-degree heat for 10 to 12 hours. That's not a fortune. And I think the Torrent is where I'm going right now. 888-808-1019. Thank you. Every time, this is going to be a new thing. I'm going to, you know, what is this called? Crowdsourcing? That's what I'm going to do. Anytime I'm in the market for a product, I'm just going to bring it up on one of the five-hour midnight rides and see if you guys can help me. I appreciate it.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, you know what time it is. Let's try and get as many calls as we can. 888-808-1019. Just a couple of minutes to the warm-up show right here on the fan. And you get your Wednesday underway here. Ralphie in Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
Chris, appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to make it really quick.
Yeah.
If you subscribe to the notion that it's okay to use steroids mm-hmm. and get into the Hall of Fame, you're nuts. Because then you're subscribing to the fact that if you're not cheating, you're not trying. What about the players that didn't have as much talent, that put in the work, put in the hours, and opted not to go the steroid route? It's just ludicrous.
If they're one of the best players of the I'm not saying put everyone who used steroids. I'm saying Barry Bonds, whether he took steroids or not, I mean, he was a Hall of Fame player before he did. Roger Clemens, same thing.
But he gained an unfair advantage by using steroids. He wasn't playing on an equal plane. It's ludicrous.
How do you know he wasn't playing on an equal playing field? How many of the pitchers he had home runs against were on steroids? Do we have any idea?
You can't pick and choose. He used steroids over and out. I mean,
he never failed a test.
Obviously, he found a way not to, but
he was never tested. I mean, I don't know if he was during his time period. They didn't start testing until later.
Listen, I'm a bit of a cynic in the whole conspiracy.
If you're a conspiracy theorist, all
these guys.
Who knows how many pitchers were facing it? All we could do is there was no rules against, there was no testing for it. It was a blind eye turn by Major League Baseball and the Players Association. Nobody cared about it. For all those players who were doing the clean, they should have been more upset with their union instead of the one guy who stood there every meeting, whose name I forget. It was in the Joe Torre book. And they talked about the one guy who stood up like first in all these meetings and complained about guys taking steroids. But the union, too, the players who were in the union, they didn't do enough to stop the game. They wanted all the money to go up, and home runs were surging up money, and everyone was getting paid. That's it. The idea Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame, he's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. A lot of that's being said about Judge lately. I love Judge. Love him. And if you want to, you know, I know he's doing it clean, and it's different, fine, whatever. I'm sorry. Barry Bonds, circa 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. And anyone who's my age and you saw Barry Bonds, that was the best baseball player you've ever seen. It was on another level. Judge is great. Judge is great. Love him. Maybe the second best hitter I've ever seen. But Barry Bonds was on another level. He won seven MVPs. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? Because he was doing the same thing everybody else was doing. He was just better at it. Played under the suspicion of the steroid era. The best of the best get in. That's it. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Chris. How are you? It's been a few days since we've spoken, big guy.
It's been a few days. What's going on, bud? How are you?
Okay. Two, good. I'm doing good. A lot of cancellations for airports, and I'm starting to pick someone up now, get them to the airport. Hopefully, their flight won't get canceled this morning. But,
okay, good luck.
Okay, thank you. But first, Big Mac, I was going to talk about the Yankees, but first thing about Bonds. If you look at Bonds, and I watched him grow up, you know, I watched him play through his whole time. When Bonds first played, his body, he was very small. Later in life, he got real big. And yes, he probably did do steroids, and he did beat the system. But you know what? Like you just said 2 seconds ago, that they didn't test, they didn't care, and he should get in. I mean, the guy was just phenomenal. The guy was, you know, he was just an overall a great baseball player, but he cheated. But we can't prove it because MLB never tested him back then. So everyone, you know, they should stop talking about it and just let him in because, you know, his stats bring him to the Hall of Fame. Don't you agree there? That's number one.
I do.
Okay. And number two now, let's get to the Yankees. You know, we talked for weeks about, you know, let's Yankees need to get all these players and make all these trades. Cashman must have really felt that he had a team that what he built can get him to the promised land this year. And I really do believe, I don't know why I feel this way. The one player that we trade for, the second baseman or our third baseman, you know, whatever position he plays, Jazz Chisholm, has changed the whole team atmosphere. Chisholm's come there, and you see how he brought the whole team back. Now Stanton is back, and hopefully Stanton will start hitting, because the problem the Yankees are going to have still is that no one's going to pitch the Judge because they're going to pitch around him every time. So if Stanton can get hot, and now with all the guys that are coming back from on the IR from the bullpen, and we got Leiter there. I think this team has a real good chance of winning the whole thing here.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, and Big Mac, you know this. I'm not a big Boone fan, but I have to tell you one thing. I give Boone a lot of credit. When he took out Torres, when Torres didn't go, we're watching the game, and my girlfriend says to me, "Well, why didn't he get to second base?" It was a home run. He didn't run out. That was great that he actually showed him. Get your butt going and get to play baseball. But the next game, if you watched him, when he had a single or he ran the ball out, he ran it out. And Boone has to be more of a manager, not their friends. He has to be more of a manager. And, you know, he did other things. You know, he played a little small ball where he bet Soto to bunt the ball down the third baseline.
That's more Soto on his own than Boone. But I understand. We'll see if it helps Kleber. We'll see if it helps him. I think some guys just have it inert in them where they do things like that. We'll see if it finally helps that Boone benched him. He benched him before, and it was for partly poor play, but also for a lack of hustle, and it didn't seem to help him. There's different ways. There are some taskmasters. There are some guys who treat it differently. You know, I don't think, like with some guys, it's just the way it is. Like I guess Boone needs to be tougher on them. I suppose. I think it's a little overblown, but it is what it is. Hopefully it'll help him. Because we need the Yankees need Gleyber Torres to be better. There's no doubt about it. And they need him to play harder. Frank in Westchester, what's up, Frank?
Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
I DM'd you on X. I sent you a screenshot of the one I used in Disney World in August.
Okay.
So that's the best one. Quick question for you, though. Are you staying in a regular room or are you staying in a DVC room?
Regular room.
Okay, because, okay, then you're not going to have the little freezer in the fridge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that one I sent you, you just have to, like, use Ziploc bags, a little bit of ice from the ice coolers in the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and you just put them in the backpack. It's called the Titan one. I just DM'd you on X.
Oh, well, thank you very much. The Titan. I'll look into the Titan. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for all your cooler recommendations. I appreciate it. And thank you for all your phone calls and just overall the fun times we've had over the last 5 hours. I appreciate it more than you know. Fliegelman, you're cool, too. We'll catch you guys tomorrow, I'm assuming, at 2 a.m. if the Yankees play baseball. It looks like the weather report right now is that you can expect to get both games in. So I'll see you at 2 a.m. after all the baseball. And then I'll see you Thursday afternoon with Loogie. Me and Loogie doing the afternoon. Old times. Everybody have a great day. Let's go Yankees. Let's go Mets. I'll catch you again at 2 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFN.